Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I remember talking to an offensive tackle. I won't say his name because I don't know if he wants me to tell this story or not, because it paints him out as a mercenary. But I think he played a long time in the NFL. And I'd say like the last 4 years, he really wanted to retire. But he's like, look. I try to keep perspective on just how much money we make. I can't justify not taking this money. Right. It's a lot of money. It's not as much as it used to be, but my God.
Yes.
It was, I think he was making, $2 or $3 million a year. This is like a decade ago.
Yep.
I was like, it's $2 million and they want me to be a backup. Like, how can I not take that money?
Most of these guys are never going to have a job that pays anywhere close to this.
No matter how good you are at anything.
And I'm not even saying you're going to be some bum that's sitting at home. I'm just saying like most jobs don't pay $11 million.
Even with a really successful business.
Even the best job in most companies don't pay anywhere close to $11 million.
The top $11 million has got to put you in the top 0.1% of income.
Oh yeah,
I mean like it's or better than that even. Yeah. So it's
a tough bracket to get out of.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It's a tough bracket to stay in, I should say. As long as you're there, stay there. Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. A little over an hour from now, 9:20. Cal McNair, Texans owner, will join us. In studio. Looking forward to that conversation. Make a note. I'm looking at an article, Seth, from yesterday on ESPN.com, and it's by Pete Thamel, who is their main college football writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Pete Thamel was listening to our show earlier this week because he lists the top candidates out there for head coaching jobs next year in college football. He lists 10 current head coaches at various programs. Some big names, some not so big names. And then he goes into the assistants. You know who the number one assistant coach is in college football? In Pete Thamel's mind. And Pete Thamel talks to a lot of people too, athletic directors and so forth. The number one assistant in terms of the head coaching cycle for next year?
Oh, yeah, Bill O'Brien, right?
Bill O'Brien. Okay. Yeah, Bill O'Brien. He says this. This is Pete Thamel. He's called plays for Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, elevated Penn State from the depths of the Sandusky conviction, won the AFC South 4 times in 7 NFL head coaching seasons.
True.
Upon his return to college, he helped develop Bryce Young into a Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm, the potential number one overall pick.
He gets a chance to do it again this year. The relative lack of interest last season in O'Brien, 52 years old, was strange as he is intrigued.
Wait, what was the last part?
The relative lack of interest last season in O'Brien, 52,
okay,
was strange as he's intrigued by a return to college head coaching.
Oh, is he?
Thamel states as fact that Bill O'Brien is intrigued by a return to college head coaching.
I wonder if O'Brien maybe turned down some inquiries this year. I would get the sense that he's at that point in his career where this could be his last shot at a head coaching job. If it didn't work out, that might be his last shot at a good head coaching job.
Right.
So he's probably going to be very, very careful about which opportunity he pursues. And maybe also in the scope of all the things going on in the last year in college football where the landscape changed completely, you want to really be sure you know what you're getting into. You're
talking about NIL and the transfer portal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, am I jumping into a job that I don't even know what it is anymore?
Yep.
Like, let's sit back, assess, and figure out what we have. What are the chances that, let's see, various coaches who have shown promise but were ultimately disappointments, but then all of a sudden it clicked for them? Like Bill Belichick was a guy like that. Didn't work out with the Browns, but obviously it clicked when he ended up eventually going to the Patriots.
Yeah, no, you just brought up a name a minute ago talking about Dwayne Brown. I think Pete Carroll is that.
Pete Carroll, right. Well, Pete Carroll was a different nut because he'd gone to the NFL, and people gloss over his NFL head coaching stint as like being...
The early stint.
Yeah.
With the Jets and the Patriots.
But he actually had some good seasons.
He was decent. He wasn't he wasn't a world beater.
Right, but people act like he was just completely hapless and forlorn as an NFL coach.
Right,
he wasn't
Rich Kotite.
Right, but he kind of got labeled as a guy that just wasn't NFL material.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, his shtick works in college, but not in the NFL.
And he turned that into one of the greatest dynasties of this century at USC.
Yeah, and then ended up going to the NFL, and it worked out great. So I think he'd be a little bit different, because it's not like O'Brien as of yet doesn't have his USC version of the story, but there are guys, Dick Vermeil, who had more success as an Eagles head coach.
He went to a Super Bowl,
but you're right. But then when he came back, it felt the layoff for him was even better.
17 years.
Yeah.
No, everybody came back. He came for Dick Vermeil. It was sanity that got him. I don't know if it was X's and O's or whatever. Like, he was a basket case at the end in Philly.
I think with O'Brien, there's a little bit to that where I wouldn't say sanity because that implies a lot, but I do think that O'Brien sometimes muted his better qualities with his lesser qualities. Like his better qualities were lessened by his, I think sometimes his impatience or sometimes his anger in some of those things. And I guess I just wonder with O'Brien, is he really had time to sit back and reflect and work on that?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Saban somehow, you know, is a positive influence there. But I think O'Brien does a lot of really good things as a head coach,
yep.
I think. But at times he's his own worst enemy.
I would say that the dynamic you're talking about with O'Brien, where the bad O'Brien got the good, kind of got the good O'Brien, it got worse when he became the general manager. I think we can all agree on that. It got worse when he became the general manager. That was a job he was not very well suited for. That's what would give me pause if I were an athletic director or a school president hiring him, is that the job of college football head coach looks a lot more like the job he had at the end with the Texans than the one he had at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where you've got all this responsibility. You are the talent evaluator. You are the recruiter. You're the sales guy, but you're also the X's and O's guy. I think X's and O's he'll be fine in college. But then there's all the extra stuff that goes with being a college head coach. But I don't know if he's into that either. I think he's really good at it. I think Bill O'Brien has a side to him where he can be a charmer. I just don't know how high that is on the list of things he enjoys doing.
What he went through at Penn State, I don't think there's a possible way he could have known exactly what he was getting into there. Right. But in dealing with boosters at that point where, you know, a lot of the alumni had stark and vastly different opinions or feelings about the program than, say, what was publicly acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to be almost a middle child between competing issues there.
Tough.
I don't know if it gets any worse than that at a big-time program than what he went through at Penn State. So I wonder if he feels like he's more well-suited to handling the normal run-of-the-mill insanity of college football.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's an interesting article because, again, Pete Thamel says the relative lack of interest in O'Brien was strange, as he is intrigued by a return to college. Now, intrigued doesn't mean like, I want the, he's intrigued by it.
I would say the most likely scenario for Bill O'Brien is to be a Big Ten head coach next year.
Okay.
His next head coaching job, I just see a Big Ten head coach.
Feels like it. Yeah, I think it's a good prediction. Now, keep in mind, USC and UCLA are now in the Big Ten. I'll point that out.
Not USC.
Or UCLA, yeah. No, it won't be USC.
You see Bill O'Brien out, like, yelling at seagulls on the beach, feeding seagulls.
You crapped on my car! You suck, too! Him yelling that at seagulls makes me laugh.
If you're, Would Lane Kiffin use that video against Bill O'Brien in competing for
100%.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin uses every weapon available.
Lane Kiffin's going to be playing that before
no
his
rules.
Pressers. Yeah.
No rules.
Why I think he's going to the Big Ten.
There you go.
Bill O'Brien, scared of Lane Kiffin.
Headline. All right. Payne and Pendergast, Cal McNair joins us in studio in about an hour from now, 9:20. He will join us. NFL.com's got their preseason power rankings out. Where are the Texans? What is one part of these power rankings that scares me about this season? And I guess they are actually up in their feelings about where Cleveland is. In Cleveland, they're up in their feelings about NFL.com power rankings right now. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Getting you set for the preseason opener. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Cal McNairn studio with us at 9:20 a.m. today. Clinton Show out at Cinco Ranch Big City Wings. Go check them out today. John McClain will be out there with them.
In Cinco Ranch?
Well. Cinco Ranch.
I'm looking to go rent jet skis this afternoon at a body of water that's less polluted than most.
Ah, I gotcha. Might need to go to a lake, I would say.
It gets dicey around the greater Houston area, Sean. This city's seen a lot of action
in the last century. Yeah.
It's not the active factory that you have to worry about anymore. It's the one that was buried on the riverbanks like 30 years ago.
So is this going to happen? Do you think you're actually going to go through with it and rent the jet skis?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking for a good spot.
Okay.
Last time I went jet skiing, it was down in Galveston on a rough day, and it was rough.
Sounds fun.
It was rough. It was like, it messed me up, man.
Really?
My elbows and everything. Yeah, I was going to rent it for an hour, and the guy, to his credit, was like, listen, man, I got to tell you, honestly, on a day like this, most people that rent for an hour are coming in after like 25 minutes, and there are no refunds.
Oh, that was cool of him.
Yeah,
to do.
He did me a solid.
That was
he wants
nice
my
of
repeat
him.
Business. All right, well, maybe I'll drive all the way.
Go back to that
down
guy.
Down to Galveston.
Yeah,
okay.
You'll feel good about yourself if you go back to that guy. NFL.com has their preseason power rankings out. Preseason almost, because we've only got a couple games in the books. By the way, Baltimore won last night. They've now won 21 preseason games in a row.
It's one of the greatest records in all of
it
sports.
It is.
In a weird way, it really kind of is. Because it doesn't make any sense. It's not like they're trying. This is the thing about Baltimore. I do feel like it's a testament to the types of guys that they go after. Like, they go after football guys.
Absolutely.
Whatever that means to you, I feel like a lot of people just know what I'm talking about. That's who they go after, and I think a lot of the guys that might not be NFL caliber, per se, are still grinding it out in the second halves, because it's not like they play their starters longer than most people or anything like that. They don't have an unfair advantage in that. I think they just do a better job at the bottom of their roster.
So the power rankings are out. The Texans, Seth, in the first set of power rankings on NFL.com?
20s?
20s.
Woo!
29th?
Damn.
But that's 20s.
Damn.
Two-handle, baby.
Better than three teams?
Two-handle. Better,
who are
yes.
The three punks that we outpower
the three punks. The three punks below them. One is in the division, okay. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. You mean NFL.com said, hey, wait a second. The team that finished worse than the Texans last year was beat twice by the Texans last year, that maybe we should go ahead and say that they're worse than the Texans?
Right. Doug Peterson is not Vince Lombardi.
Okay, a little vote for sanity there.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. The 31st and 32nd teams are... the Atlanta Falcons at 31.
Something that you had predicted.
That's
I think.
A bad football team. Well, and they agree with something that I said yesterday when we were talking about Justin Fields. They have the Bears as the worst team in football.
Yeah.
And I think that is accurate. I think the Texans go into Chicago in week three and they do the Bears, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that the Bears are really bad.
There's something nice about going to face one of the old ladies of the league And I'm saying that in a good way, like going to the old dames or what have you.
Yeah.
Whether they're good or bad, but it's like even when they're bad, it still feels good to beat the Bears.
Yes.
Historical. Yeah. Because I was a franchise or an expansion franchise kid.
Both times.
I played for the Jaguars and the Texans.
Yeah.
I never played for one of those old guard franchises, and I always felt a certain little, almost like a chip on my shoulder about going to play in those places. Right? There's a snobbery amongst the fan bases somehow, and you just want to stick it in their ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we beat the Steelers,
oh, that I know had to that feel good.
We beat the Steelers in the expansion year, and especially in that expansion year, we beat the Giants. After we beat the
Cowboys.
Giants. Like these old guard NFL teams.
You guys were legend killers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and we made those fan bases hate themselves so much.
Yeah.
Like after
More than they already did.
After we beat the Giants, I think the front page of the sports section, top half just said, shame.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was really, really cool.
That's a big feeling of satisfaction. The AFC South, the four teams in the AFC South, I mentioned the Texans 29, Jacksonville 30. Indianapolis, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee is 16 on this list right
Tennessee,
now.
Tennessee, I got to stick up for Tennessee a little bit. They don't get no respect because, Sean, like last year they were an afterthought to most people as they were racking up. Yeah. What was the record? What was the season record last
I don't know.
Year?
They were the one seed.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. It was
like 11-6, I think.
And they were barely talked about.
Yeah, and then they got knocked out in the first round at home of the playoffs.
But still, they should have been talking about
them,
Sean. The
lack of buzz was deserved.
They should have been talking about
them. We should have been talking
about them. Well, remember, though, too. Okay, so this was, the COVID year. Gosh, everything's blending into each other.
Yeah.
The COVID year was a really interesting year with Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because it was,
they had big COVID issues on that team.
Yeah, I think people are overreacting to the loss of an awesome receiver.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I think that A.J. Brown is awesome in that receivers are more important than they've ever been. But I would actually take the over on Tennessee.
You would? Okay, so you think they're going to be better than a midway through the league team?
Yeah.
The first place I always look is quarterback, and I just think there's not only are there a lot of people who are feeling like, okay, this is the regression we've been waiting for from Ryan Tannehill, but last night might have been the first dosage we got. If Malik Willis keeps making plays in the preseason, that drumbeat's going to get louder and louder and louder. I mean, Tannehill admitted during the offseason that he had to go to counseling because of the interceptions he was throwing in that Cincinnati playoff loss.
Is that how he framed it? Or did he say he was seeing a sports psychologist?
I don't know.
What's the difference? There's a difference there.
There is?
Seeing counseling it brings up images of him lying on his back crying.
That's what I choose to visualize.
He never had a chance to not throw interceptions.
That's exactly what happened.
Because his mom stopped breastfeeding him too early. Yeah.
It's funny. It's like you were sitting right in the meeting. I have reports. I have sources.
What if he got up at the podium? So I got to be honest with you guys. I wasn't breastfed as a child. And frankly, if you want your children to grow up to not throw interceptions, keep that nipple attached to them for as long as you can.
That's it. That would be something. How about this? The Texans unfortunately cross over with the AFC West this year. They play the AFC West. They play all four teams in the AFC West. Here are the power rankings for the four AFC West teams. Kansas City 7. Wow, that's probably as low as Kansas City's been to start a season in a long time. That said,
Disrespect they show our quarterbacks.
Kansas City 7.
I'm telling you.
Denver 8, Chargers 9, Raiders 11. All four AFC West teams are listed in the power rankings before you get to the first AFC South team. How about that?
Man.
Do you view that as accurate? Are the four teams in the AFC West, are they all top 11 teams in your mind?
I'm still not sold on the Raiders. I'll continue to keep that hefty chip on Derek Carr's shoulders.
Yeah,
Derek Carr has gotten to the point where I think he's better than I wanted to admit he was, but I'm still not convinced he'll ever be anything more.
Yeah.
Except that Devontae Adams, it's such a tricky one, isn't it? Like, what am I going to do? Sit here and act like Devontae Adams made Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback? But Devontae Adams was a hell of a weapon, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, it's, Aaron Rodgers is going to be good regardless of whether he had Devontae Adams or not, but I do think he'll make Derek Carr look better than he did last year.
I think what's fascinating about this division is that you've got Kansas City, who they traded Tyreek Hill. Like they're at the phase on their arc where, oh crap, we're paying Mahomes, we're paying Kelsey, we're paying these other guys. We can't afford to pay people, so we got to trade him for draft picks. The other three teams in the division who are all gunning for the Chiefs all made all-in moves. You know, Denver all-in on Russell Wilson. Vegas all-in with Devontae Adams, and they paid Derek Carr. And the Chargers went and they paid big money for a cornerback. They traded for Khalil Mack.
Like, right.
It's, and the math will not allow all four of these teams to achieve what they think they can
achieve.
Well,
and the Chargers, the, I think, under-discussed thing last year because the media is such little fanboys for Brandon Staley because he gets up and he, like, Brandon Staley says interesting, like intelligent things in press conferences. People didn't want to bring up the fact that the guy that they've been heralding as the NFL's next defensive genius had an absolutely horrible defense last year. Just disgustingly bad defense
yep.
for somebody that's supposed to be a defensive genius. So, yes, they went and they stockpiled good defensive players. I still need to be convinced that Brandon Staley is a good head coach. So, yeah, between the Chargers and the Raiders, I'm not buying it completely. I find myself in a weird spot, Sean.
Talk to me, Seth.
I'll get on the couch now.
Yes, yes. I want to give you some counseling here. I'm going to get on
Ryan Tannehill's therapist couch,
yeah.
And I'm going to blubber. I find myself wanting Patrick Mahomes to prove the doubters wrong.
I'm going to recommend another doctor to you.
I ethically can't treat you.
Yeah. I have to be on the same side of the argument.
I do think there's something about judging Pat Mahomes harshly for actually utilizing Tyreek Hill. All he did was have Tyreek Hill or whatnot. Like lots of quarterbacks have had weapons like Tyreek. Tua Tagovailoa is going to have Tyreek Hill.
He will.
And I don't think he's going to do the same things with him that Pat Mahomes did.
Agreed.
And I think Pat Mahomes did. I think if you look at the sum total of his stats last year, it was not, you know, obviously like a peak Pat Mahomes year, but I do think that he learned a few things along the way because of the way teams were playing him. I think he became a more efficient quarterback. But I'd be worried about not just Tyreek Hill, but the fact that Travis Kelce is not the same guy he used
to
be.
Yeah, yeah.
So
they're all getting older.
I'm in a spot where I think that Pat Mahomes is actually so weird to say. I think Pat Mahomes is better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. and yet. Sean, a lot of people are saying,
I'm not laughing at you, I actually agree with you.
Now, a lot of
but
people
it sounds
saying,
absurd.
I know, because that's where I'm talking specifically about the people who think he was just a product of Andy Reid's offense with Tyreek Hill and Kelce and everybody else.
Yep.
I think there's it's somewhere, I don't think he's proven himself to be the best quarterback who ever played the game yet, but I do think he's more of an evolved, sophisticated quarterback than some people want to give him credit for.
Cleveland 22 on these power rankings, mm-hmm. which to translate what that would mean to Texan fans, if these power rankings were to be accurate, it would mean, Texan fans, that you are getting the 11th pick in the draft next year.
Do you have the blurb in front of you that explains like the rationale behind Cleveland?
Sure. Yeah, I got it right here. Kareem Hunt wants out of Cleveland. That doesn't mean Kareem Hunt gets out of Cleveland. The Browns denied his trade request. We'll fine him for sitting out team drills. Barring something unforeseen, that means Browns fans will get one more year of Hunt and Nick Chubb, the best 1-2 punch in the NFL. With Deshaun Watson suspended for the first 6 games of the season and perhaps many more, depending on the outcome of the appeal, it's hard not to imagine Cleveland as one of football's most run-heavy teams with certified game manager Jacoby Brissett under center.
Yeah.
So I guess the things I would say about that is, one, we don't know what the outcome is going to be for Deshaun's appeal. Two, they don't even mention Jimmy Garoppolo in here. The possibility of them getting him. Cleveland's the toughest one to fork. It's why you can't bet on any Cleveland games.
You know,
right
the crazy thing about Cleveland, look, Pro Football Focus grades are dicey. A lot of times they don't tell nearly the whole story. But I think when you look at an entire roster, if you look at Pro Football Focus's grades, green is a good quality player. Yeah. Blue is like a blue chip player.
Yep.
Like across the board, you see greens and blues. It's like they have very few weak spots on that roster, yes. Other than a huge, huge question mark at quarterback.
Other than that.
Yeah.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you. Again, the afternoon show today, Clint Sterner in the show. Big City Wings in Cinco Ranch, 2-6. Go check them out. Miller Lite Football Friday. Grab those wings, grab those drinks, and hang out and get ready for the preseason opener tomorrow against the New Orleans Saints. Up next, a reminder, Cal McNair at 9:20 today. Up next, how much is Framber Valdez worth if he were to hit the open market? His catcher has a take on this.
Oh, goodness. Oh, great.
That is next.
The future manager of your favorite
team. Maybe enough to buy some new jewelry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, it's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Getting you set for the preseason opener. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you on a Football Friday. Cal McNair in studio with us in about 35 minutes. 20 past 9 o'clock. He will be in here with us. A reminder, game tomorrow night against the Saints. First preseason game. Seth and I get you started at 4 o'clock. With Texans Countdown, Clint Sterner and I will be on post-game duties following the game. So looking forward to that. We'll get to some of the things to look for in that game at the top of the hour. And also a reminder, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley will be at Big City Wings in Cinco Ranch this afternoon from 2 to 6. So come hang out, have some wings. I might head out there. I might head out to Cinco Ranch and hang out with the fellas today. It's a Miller Lite Football Friday. Just shifting gears over to the Astros for just 1 second, Seth. I saw a tweet. Mark Berman had this tweet. Martin Maldonado after the game yesterday, Framber Valdez, another quality start. He's awesome. He's so awesome that Martin Maldonado says that he thinks Framber is a $200 million pitcher. That's how high I am on Framber. He is one of those guys that they're going to have to pay here soon. My guess is that the pecking order of guys that the Astros were approaching who still haven't even hit arbitration yet.
Yeah.
Still got 3 years left. Went Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker in some order. 1-2. You know, those two at the top. Fromber's season now, I would imagine he was somewhat of a priority. He's probably a big priority now, especially given the fact that we don't know what Justin Verlander's future with the team is after this
right,
year.
Yeah, exactly. And those two things kind of are they interchangeable? Are they separate issues? Like, what are you looking for on into the future? I mean, Framber will be a free agent in 2026.
Yeah.
So you've got three more
years.
Time. Three more years. But do they feel good enough about him the same way they did with Yordan, where you can lock him down and get him at what ends up being a really reasonable rate on a 5-year deal? I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
You know, and I think they would. I would imagine they do too. I think that Verlander is just like almost a completely separate nut.
Yep.
Than everything else. They worry about long-term team building with those guys. And what the Yordan deal and what a potential Framber deal does or a Kyle Tucker deal does is they generally aren't going to pay him until a few years from now. Like the big money, like Bregman's big money didn't kick in until this year. So that gives you time for a guy like Verlander. I don't know if Verlander wants more than a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give him a 2 or 3 year deal, it doesn't hurt you with a luxury tax in the short term, and then it frees up the space for when those guys are starting to work out.
The players that are important to this team that are still either early in arbitration or entering arbitration going into this season were Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker. I'll throw Jeremy Peña in there now. He's proven he's a capable Major League Baseball player. And then all those pitchers, all the pitchers that they signed from the various Latin American countries that they gave small signing bonuses to, I think it's safe to say they've hit on all those guys that mm-hmm. we're talking about that are part of this rotation. Framber, Urquidy, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, all have great arguments to be part of this team going forward. Tucker and Yordan are the big priorities, and Yordan is done. He's the biggest priority. So James Click got his biggest, like, lock them in now, buy out their arbitration in early free agent years at a good rate for the team. The biggest checkbox he needed was Yordan. He got that done.
Yeah.
Fromber is right there with Kyle Tucker for second priority right now. Like, and the thing that to me separates Fromber from the other pitchers, and you know, the other pitchers that I just named, and really a lot of other pitchers around baseball, he is an ox. Mm-hmm. Like, he is durable, and he's got a style of pitching that I think is going to age really, really well. He's not a power pitcher, but he eats up innings.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would worry about with a ground ball pitcher is, if I'm trying to play devil's advocate, is if it's a Dallas Keuchel type situation where all of a sudden
they move the strike zone on you.
Yeah, but it's not like it's not Framber's pinpoint. Framber isn't the same type of beast that Keuchel was. I have a really hard time talking myself out of that. I could talk myself out of, you know, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia. Could I talk myself out of Kyle Tucker? I could talk myself down, you know, on what I'm willing to pay Kyle Tucker. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
We've seen the, I don't want to say streaky side of Kyle Tucker, but is he 100% there yet? I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to pay Kyle Tucker at some point.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's for the right amount.
When I
sure.
say down, I mean like, okay, from whatever the high end was.
Right,
before.
Right, right. Now, it's worth noting Kyle Tucker turned down an extension offer earlier this year, so we'll see what happens.
Betting on himself. Kyle Tucker don't care.
$200 million means Fromber hits free agency because he ain't getting $200 million from the Astros.
Well, right, but he's also, like, he's not going to get a 10-year contract from the Astros.
Yeah,
I think that the Astros have been really smart with that. Even with Bregman's contract, you could argue about, you know, whether it was worth it or not. His total production over that time since the extension has been really good, but that's with a freakishly good first year of the contract.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
freakishly
that,
good.
Like really, really. 44
well,
MVP
home runs.
Caliber.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, runner up for the MVP. Yeah.
So, but even with that, probably, like, you don't feel that great about that extension at that point. I think that's the smart financial way to be kind of aggressive. And, like, the Eagles used to do it in football where they would take these guys who were promising rookies or second-year players, mm-hmm. and they would give them, like, seven-year deals. So they take guys that hadn't made much money on the rookie deals and weren't going to get a chance to make money for a long time, at least in football terms, and they would give them, like, seven-year deals. The problem was over time, for one, they changed the CBA to where you couldn't do it, but also over time, guys would realize they'd get 3 years into that contract, kind of like Prince with his record contract, would realize like, oh man, I was a dumbass for signing that deal. And it just creates a bad environment when you got enough guys like that that kind of feel like they were taken advantage of as young guys. So I think the Astros find the right blend where they take a young guy and it helps also that Altuve was the first test case.
Yeah.
They gave Altuve money before he hit free agency.
Yep.
When he was a young player that overperformed. And then they did it again. And I think when your best player historically over this course of the last decade has set that precedent, I think other guys are cool with it.
And the first one he did that with, he way overachieved. He did what you're talking about with the Eagles. He way overachieved it, so they kind of made it right on the second one.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Andre Johnson. Well, Andre, it was a different case because the first contract he redid with the Texans was not the best contract.
Yeah.
And the Texans ended up kind of upping it.
Yeah.
Basically, the same way it was with Altuve. We realized, like, look, this is a, I know we franchise gave you an extension,
icon.
But this was, yeah, this is a
special case.
You've gone above and beyond, yeah.
Text message 979. Do y'all think the Ravens preseason streak, for those who don't know, the Ravens won their 21st straight preseason game last night, speaks to the overall success of the competitive culture they've developed? Are the Ravens more Patriot than the Patriots? That's from CD and Brenham.
I think if there's, you know what, let me write this down because I might ask Cal McNair a question about this when we have him on at 9:15. I think that sometimes the Patriots obsession is overblown with teams in general. I'm not even just talking about the Texans specifically. I think around the league, a lot of teams look at the Steelers and the Ravens as the teams you want to emulate, or that are more capable of being emulated. Because in New England, like people from New England will tell you, it's hard to replicate something that includes two of the best people who've ever done with it. Belichick, one of the best coaches ever. Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks ever. Those two together were a dynamo, obviously. So how do you replicate that? It's harder to do.
Yep.
I think with the Steelers and the Ravens, you can look at a culture of success over a long stretch of time with different quarterbacks, defenses that consistently played well through multiple different defensive coordinators. And a lot of that just comes down to scouting and the type of culture and the type of players they have. Like, I think Caserio, as much as he leans on what he learned at New England, I think he's a student of the game too, and probably leans on a lot of what he's learned from Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Cal McNair in studio with us in about 25 minutes or so. 9:20, he'll be in studio with us here, the Texans owner. So we look forward to that. Speaking of preseason, it's a football Friday. Let's get you ready. Some reports from last night's practice at NRG Stadium, including some important names that we will see this weekend, maybe more than we wanted to, and some important names we will not see this weekend. We'll get you ready for Saturday's game next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.